Now, we're going to hold number 25 over till next month. Move on to 26, EHD update. Andrew, are you going to give this one for us?
Yep.
Great.
Good morning, Commissioners, Chair Olson, Secretary Roebling, Andrew Norton here, Senior Big Game Biologist with the Game, Fish, and Parks. Once Nick gets us loaded here, I will go through another update, very similar to last month, but as most of you probably know, we've had a lot more cases of hemorrhagic disease here in the last month. So just to start off here, Nick, if you can click to the second slide. Maybe give a little bit more background on the disease itself, just to familiarize everyone and know what the risks are. So it's going to be referred to as EHD or blue tongue. Collectively, we call it hemorrhagic disease. They both act very similarly. Usually dry, hot summers result in this midge hatch, and that's what actually kills the deer. So you can see a year like this. 2012, 2013, we had a couple bad years in 2016 as well, and I'll get into some of that going forward here. Next slide. So it affects deer differently. In fact, in southern states, they have these outbreaks every year, and what happens is these deer just develop a resistance to it. They have the antibodies year in, year out, and these midges bite them every year and it doesn't kill them. They have more of this chronic version of it where they may see some effects, but it doesn't really kill the deer. Whereas up here, where we get these infrequent, dry, hot summers, deer have not built up the resistance, so we see these big die-offs, unfortunately, and it makes it a challenge. Like I said last month, it's very similar to maybe winter kill, where it's infrequent, it comes in, kills a bunch of deer. We unfortunately have to react to it because we can't predict this until we get these hot, dry conditions. Importantly, as I said last month as well, it does not affect mule deer as much as whitetails, so we're not seeing as big of an impact, and that's definitely one of the deer populations we're trying to grow in the state. And then other species, we've had even confirmed positives this summer, bighorns, pronghorn, as well as elk. So it affects them as well, but at a much lower rate as far as livestock. Cattle are affected by it, but it doesn't really result in mortality or any major concerns. Sheep can be affected by blue tongue, but not EHD, and it's more severe in sheep. But fortunately, no major reports this year. Next slide. So here's just showing the trend through time. It's kind of the 10,000-foot view. It's not going to be super informative because, as you can see, in 2021, we have about 800 cases so far. It might seem like it's relatively insignificant, but it's isolated to fewer areas than, for example, in 2012. So in those few areas, it's more substantial of an effect, and that's why we're kind of reacting to it the way we are, and I'll go through some of the management response actions we've taken in the last month and get into more of the spatial effects that it has. So there's kind of two scales of the spatial effect. I talked about statewide, county by county, but even within the county, you're going to see a lot of variation. You may see from one ranch to the next, depending on what type of water you have. If there's good flowing water, not a lot of change in the water, you might see less EHD, whereas if you have some of these stock dams, these exposed mud flats, you'll see more of these midges hatch, and it can kill 20, 30, 40% of the deer on one property, and a couple miles away, it might only kill 5 or 10%. So getting into the spatial distribution, this is the exact slide that I showed last month. These teal greenish dots show our GPS collar deer. So it was an opportunity we had because we had some deer exactly where EHD was occurring that showed us early on where we were getting these cases. And the black dots represent what we get reported from the public. So we didn't know much last month, and if we didn't have the GPS collars, we probably wouldn't have done much. So they really helped us get ahead of this. If we move forward to including September and a little bit of October in the next slide, You can see we've got a lot more reports across a lot of the state. Unfortunately, we don't have GPS collars across the whole state, just in the northwestern three counties, Perkins, Harding, and Corson. So you can see those red dots again are GPS collared mortalities occurring during the same time, probably most likely EHD as well. So this disease has expanded, mostly isolated to the western part of the state, but you can see in the southeast we've got some cases popping up as well. Next slide. So it's important to note, as I said, mule deer, obviously we're trying to grow them across much of the state. Whitetails, fortunately, we're at a pretty good spot, especially in the northwest. If you look at the lower figure here, this is just refreshing the commission's memory from last year when we established these deer recommendations. In the northwestern part of the state, a lot of those counties, you can see Harding, we've got a green and blue, which means maintain and slightly increase. Perkins, we're at maintain, and Butte, we're even wanting to decrease the deer population. So what I want to point out here is if we actually want to decrease the population, we have to kill over 25% of the female deer in a year. So natural mortality might make up 5 to 10 in an average year, and then harvest has to actually come in and kill 10 to 15%. So it's, I guess, kind of not completely raising the alarm, especially as you'll see here when we get into Butte County. So this red dotted line on the bottom of the figure here is showing for mule deer what that kind of tipping point threshold is when we start to see deer populations decrease. And I didn't spend a ton of time on these figures last month, so I'll spend a bit more explaining what we're looking at here. These are GPS collared deer. Starting July 1st would be way on the left-hand side of the axis. We've got, for example, with the green line, 152 GPS collared deer last July. The blue line would represent 205 GPS collared deer. And every single step down as we go through the summer represents a mortality case. So with mule deer, I said it doesn't affect them much. A lot of these mortalities might not even be related to EHD. And where we are last year at the middle of October was about 96% survival. So only 4% died in these 3 months. Whereas this year we're at 95%. So fortunately, not seeing too much of an effect. Maybe a few of these deer, in fact, a couple of our radial collar deer were confirmed EHD, but fortunately well away from that red dotted line on the bottom of a decreasing population. Whitetails, on the other hand, you can see much more substantial die-off in 2020 last year. That green line doesn't really represent baseline. We actually did have quite a few confirmed EHD cases last year. Usually during this time period, we'd expect maybe 5% mortality. So us seeing last year through mid-October, somewhere just above 85%, that's a fairly high amount of mortality during a time where deer usually don't die. This year, as I mentioned last month, we had this curve through the beginning of September, and you could see it was close to what it was last year. Unfortunately, that trend's continued through September and here in the beginning of October. Currently, we have 6 more dead whitetails that we're going to investigate, so that's going to bump that curve down to even 77% instead of 79%. So getting really close to that decreasing population, and obviously we still have the bulk of the hunting season coming up. And deer have to get through the winter. So we're going to see some population decreases, at least in these counties. And again, this kind of is why we're taking some of the responses we're going to take here coming up in the next couple slides. So just again, wanted to revisit this objective slide. You can see in the northwestern part of the state, we are at maintain. So again, the sky isn't completely falling, but it's always much better to have these deer provide a recreational opportunity rather than dying from a disease. So finally here, this is our some action that we've taken so far. Pulled a lot of licenses in these counties in red. Just to go through this figure, the top number is going to be the hunting unit number, and then right below it is the number of tags that we've pulled from each one of these hunting units. In parentheses are just tags that have been returned. Haven't done much outreach so far with EHD, so I imagine if we send out some more emails and information, there might be more return tags, and we're definitely asking hunters to reach out to landowners in these areas and find out what effects there are on the properties they're planning to hunt. So the red counties will be areas that we're not redistributing any of these tags, and we've pulled all leftover tags. You can see Butte kind of sticks out, probably an EHD outbreak there as well, but because we want to decrease the population, not doing much there right now. With that, I can take any questions.
Thanks. Sorry we had to have you back 2 months in a row to talk about this, but it is important. Does anybody have any questions for Andrew? Certainly appreciate the update. Hope we don't need to see you month to month after month, but appreciate the work you do on this.
Yeah, hopefully the freeze comes soon and kills these midges and we don't see any more deaths. But thanks for taking the time and appreciate being up here.
Thank you.